Hello, my fellow seekers. Suddenly Seeking Spirit is a podcast that is intended to educate, inspire, and entertain you on your personal journey toward health and happiness. The information, advice, and opinions expressed are of our own and not intended to replace care best provided by qualified professionals, and it is not a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Suddenly Seeking Spirit podcast. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Andrea. And today we're going to be talking about the age of Aquarius. I don't know why I said it like that.
That was very news broadcaster of you.
Yes. Oh, maybe that's from doing it every week now.
Yeah.
Sounded great. Age of Aquarius and all things about it. So this is a fun topic, Andrew?
Yes. And it really, I feel like this topic encompasses a lot of stuff as well, that kind of like goes in and out. There's many things in the age of Aquarius that can be their own shows, own topics as well. So it is a lot. Like whenever I was just going through and just doing the basic research on it, I was like,
there aren't always internet.
Yes. our favorite friend, Google. There's not a lot of concrete evidence that I was like, that I stumbled upon. It's more of like, well, we'll get into that.
All right. Well, let's just start with what the age of Aquarius means. So I, now I can't remember where I wrote it. It's the phenomenon of backward motion of the earth and its relationship to the sign of Aquarius. That's what I found.
So, yeah, so it's definitely dealing with, there's the astrology factor in it. What I had found, too, was it's this major time of expanded consciousness. It's almost like people are becoming awake, which I feel like I have noticed, of course, within the past, like, 5-6 years, I've picked up on that a little bit more. And also, I mean, our own journeys in spirituality have begun, you know, within that time frame, too.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, I read that too, and I'm like, this sounds like everything that Andrew and I have been studying, and this makes total sense, but, like, if you hadn't had your spiritual awakening yet, it wouldn't, right? But do you think more people are becoming more spiritually conscious?
I believe so, even in, like, the smallest ways, too. You know, even if you just break it down to people trying to be more conscious of being, like, loving, and more people discuss now, like, ego and how that is a separate thing from themselves than ever before. Like, I pick it up even on, like, TV shows and, like, movies. Like, I see little, like, seeds planted here and there. So it is in the zeitgeist of everything right
now. Ooh, that's an interesting word.
Yeah.
What does that word mean, zeitgeist? So
it's just, like, the collective consciousness of, like, how we live our lives, like, outwardly, inwardly, that type of stuff.
We should just throw out as many New Age words without defining them in this episode, just for fun.
And then we can have, at the end of the year, each year, we have, like, a puzzle.
Yeah, like a scavenger hunt. How many times did Andrew say, what was the word?
Zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist. I think there's a cream for that, Andrew.
Yes, there's got to be.
Okay, so here's some of the dates that I came across. So one was, this was by Nicholas Campion. He believed the age of Aquarius began in 1447, and we will be in it until 3597.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, so that's different from the information I had found then, because they were saying in this one, well, they talk about how the contradictory of when it began, but their reasoning for choosing this specific date, which was December 21st of 2020, is because they say, and this is pulled off the Wisdom Daily. It says that the official beginning of this age, and it was also the winter solstice and the day when the rare conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn occurred. This only happens every 20 years or so. During the recent event, the planets got closer than they have been in 800 years. So that was their kind of reasoning as to why they thought this past December.
Yeah, I did read something like that, too, in that we were in the age of Pisces before that. There's also other astrologers. There's somebody named Susan Miller. She believed that it began 2,000 years before Christ.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, no, no, I'm lying. I can't read. No, she said the age of Aries was then. So that was with the Greek and Roman violence. Sorry. And then age of Pisces. And then this article said interweb. That's my word. Yeah. So I think it's basically what you said. Like, it's starting now. Oh, and then I have this Yogi Bhajan. How do you say his name?
Bhajan. That's how I've always said it, Bhajan, yeah.
Okay, so this is from 2003. He's passed away now. But this is his quote. So he said, in this time, Piscean values are giving way to Aquarian values. The difference between the two is very simple. Piscean values work from the ego, like what you said, creating boundaries. Aquarian values have no boundaries. They are infinite. Aquarian consciousness takes you inside your soul so that you can relate to the soul in all. I like that.
Yes. And I had also found, too, it's like taking control of our planet, the things that are happening, no longer sitting back. People are taking action and guided action more and being more mindful of human rights in general and how we treat each other. And that, if you just sit down and think for a second of like, and even in certain countries, like even the United States, like there's a lot of things that kind of correlate with that, that has been happening over the past year. You know, we have the Black Lives Matter movement. We have Me Too movements. We have all these different movements and stirrings and things that that are really coming out more than they ever have before. And there's more of spotlight on it and people are caring more about these issues.
Yeah. should we be reacting to when people comment or just like, wait, we'll do hand gestures to the people commenting.
Since it is a podcast too. Yeah.
But if anybody listening live, if you have a specific question, there's a little question mark thing. You know, I was doing this with Andrew last week, Andrew Barker, and he was really good at addressing the questions without like acknowledging
going,
that. I was like, he's good at this.
Yeah.
We gotta practice more. We'll get there. So I found different things. Here's another fun fact about these ages. So they go by the 12 zodiac signs, and each age lasts around 2,100 years. That was one.
Okay.
That was from a couple of different ones, but that's what there's a wellandgood.com. It was an article called What Five Astrologers Want You to Know About the Age of Aquarius.
Okay.
That was the article. Mm-hmm. Okay. But it was basically everything we've said.
Mm-hmm.
And then it said some different traits of Aquarius as a sign. So it's the water bearer.
I'm married to an Aquarius.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, so just tell me about him and I'll say yes or no.
Yeah. So they really have a lot of times people can, like, outwardly they think that an Aquarius is not really attentive or listening to them, but they truly are. Aquariuses are real thoughtful and they're always like processing things, coming up with new ideas, new ways of working through stuff. So that would be like kind of a trait that I could see that would, you know, pulls into the age of Aquarian and what we would all step into as the collective for this. Also, too, Aquariuses are typically very, they are more so of believers in things that don't have concrete evidence, you know, in spirituality and you know, non-scientific type of stuff.
I they just can visualized really... you and Carlos, like, at the breakfast table having some sort of, like, debate about something.
Yeah.
And you bringing out evidence and him like, yeah. I don't want to see it.
Yeah, my Virgo mind up against the Aquarius.
Oh, that's great. I found, so I looked on wanderlust.com.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and it said some Aquarian roots. So the Latin meaning is water bearer. That's like the Latin meaning of the word Aquarius. It connects us to energies of originality, eccentricity, freedom, radical expression, and epiphanies. Does Carlos suddenly have epiphany?
Yeah, he always has like a new idea pops up, and he literally will go, jump back.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Here's some shadow sides of it. So this,
okay.
And I thought this was interesting because this, I can see this with a lot of people, especially in the early beginnings of a spiritual awakening.
Okay.
So it said sometimes people can seem aloof, non-committal, impulsive, detached, and restless.
Mm-hmm.
Start new things, but don't finish.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an Aquarius. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's something called the last unicorn syndrome. Have you ever heard of that? It's you think first and only come up with the idea. It's like exactly what you said.
Uh-huh.
No evidence. Just
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that hit the nail on the head.
Unicorn. Mm-hmm. So it's an archetype of Aquarius is the misfit, the lone wolf, and the mad scientist.
Uh-huh. I can definitely see like the lone wolf, even though, you know, a lot of Aquariuses that have been around, including Carlos, my husband, is like, they do very well in social settings, especially him, but they do pull back a lot too. And a lot of, yeah.
Interesting.
So I wanted to add here too, because this is like really, it made me excited because it made more sense to me about coming into the age of Aquarius. It was talking about how some people begin to feel more called to lead others into an enlightenment of their own, you know, light workers. And I was like, ding, ding, ding. You know, that's the whole point of us doing this show, you know, is to just leave those breadcrumbs for people, bits of information, and guide them to wherever they're ending up, you know? So that was kind of like, okay, now I can get down with this a little more, you know?
I like that. Yeah. That kind of goes back with the five sutras of the age of Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to go through them?
Yes. Yeah.
So Yogi Bhajan believed that this age began November 11th, 1991.
Okay.
I don't know why. But, because it was before that, there was a transitory period of the Pisces that lasted about 2 decades. And there was like some retrograde. You know, when you hear Mercury retrograde, I was always like, well, what is that? That's a whole topic in itself. Mm-hmm. The Mercury retrograde. Retrograde means direct moving backwards. So the planet appears to be moving backwards from Earth. So that has something to do with the different ages. We're like such concrete information in this podcast.
Well, think of it too as in like ebb and flow, right? The ebb is always going to pull back and then you'll get back into the flow. So it kind of goes with that as well. Yeah, the retrograde and Mercury retrograde. It just seems like it always wants to happen, you know? It's always coming up. You know?
I saw this great sketch on the Baroness von Sketch show. So everybody listening, Google Baroness von Sketch, Mercury retrograde. There's this great sketch where this woman's kind of going through her day and everything is going awry. And then people are telling her, well, it's the Mercury retrograde.
Oh, gosh. Like, oh, my God.
And a lot of people are like that in this new age world. Like, oh, it's okay, honey. It's the Mercury retrograde. That's why you're having a bad day. That's why your house burned down. It's fine.
Yeah. The blanket reasoning for all, you know.
So anyway, so this is like, so these five sutras, sutra meaning rule to live by, these are kind of guiding us to help us through the age of Aquarius, which basically we have determined we don't know when it starts or when it will end, but let's just say it's right now.
Let's just say we're in it.
everything I read basically came to that conclusion that we're in it right now. So
yeah,
I guess that's
at
all
some
we need
point
to worry
in
about.
The timeline. Yeah, we're there. Who knows how long we've been in it, but we are there.
For sure. Okay, so the first sutra, and I like these because this is kind of like what we always talk about anyway. So the first one is recognize the other person is you. That's the number one
sutra. That's a good one.
Yeah, so you are the mirror of your reaction. And how the person has reacted in that uncomfortable situation has nothing to do with you. Right? Yeah. And the light in me is a reflection of the light in you. We've said that one before.
Absolutely, yeah. It's like you can only recognize what you know or what you've been through or what you, you know, what you've seen before. And that's your reaction of yourself and what you hold.
Yeah, and so if you're listening to this and you're like, what the hell do you mean? That person's a terrible person or whatever. It's not what that person is or does, or it's your, how you're reacting to that other person. Like, you know, what people do is their business or whatever, good or bad. That's what they're doing. Yeah. It doesn't mean that that's okay either, but it's like, why am I having such an adverse reaction to that outfit that woman is wearing, or whatever it is.
For real.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can be something so small like that.
Yeah. Like, did she not look in the mirror before she left the house?
How dare she show up looking like that?
Comb your hair.
Those weird comments I've run across the brain. Yeah.
So it's just, when something's bugging you, like, just stop and think, why is that? Why am I having that reaction? Okay. So the number two, this is another good one. There is a way through every block. So there's always an answer. Everything is figure outable. That's a Marie Forleo book. If you want to pick it up, everything is figure outable.
I got it on Kindle and I haven't. And then I also got like a, what is it called? The Audible. Because I like at work, I'm all like busy and stuff. So I'd like to have either podcast playing or I'll listen to books and stuff. So that's the next one on my list is the.
Oh, nice.
Is that book.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. So basically, you know, when all is, you feel like all is lost, that there's always a way through every block. And I believe it's by surrendering that to a higher power. That's how I.
Yeah, me too. Yes, especially like it in that moment of when you feel so wound tight and you feel that anxiety and all of those yucky feelings, that is the best course of action that I have always taken is to just have that moment, fully surrender it, offer it up. It's not like you're going to forget about it or, you know, it's just relinquish. What you're doing is you're stepping outside of yourself and you're handing it to a power outside of yourself instead of just holding on to that and just being led by the ego.
Yeah. And if it's something like you don't know an answer to some problem or whatever, that's probably where that epiphany kind of comes in. As soon as you surrender it and leave it alone, walk away, you'll probably have an epiphany like, oh, that's how I solve that.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Like
that. Oh, dear. The third one is when the time is on you, start and the pressure will be off. That's so I took that as, you know, when things seem like if you're overwhelmed and you have so much to do, just start with one small action. That's how I took that. How would you take it?
I could definitely see that. Yeah, that would be the closest to what I would say. And That is true, because when you're sitting there, you think of all the possibilities of the things that you're supposed to be doing, but you're not accomplishing anything, just beginning it and you're working your way through, and then you're busy and you don't have those, those negative thoughts of like, oh, if I don't get that done, then this is going to happen. It's just flowing through. That's how you can get into the flow. You have to begin to get into flow.
And a big part that I read about the Age of Aquarius is that people are taking more soul aligned action in this age. So that goes with consciousness. And is there something that your soul is calling you to do and you're ignoring it? I think that would fall in the sutra too.
Yeah.
Like let the soul take the lead. That's a great subtitle for a book. Oh, wait, that is a subtitle for my book.
Just saying.
It's available on Amazon. Anyway.
Yes.
So when we're dismissing our heart's true calling and desire, that's when we feel like crap all the time. And you like anxiety, depression. It's usually cause for me, this is just my personal experience. It's when I'm ignoring my inner guidance system.
Anytime you're disconnected, you're going to have those feelings pop up.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Just start with one small action.
Not judging yourself when you are out.
Many that's a people, hard one.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's keep going down that rabbit hole.
That kind of goes with the next one. Number four is understand through compassion or you will misunderstand the times.
Okay.
What do you take that as?
So what was it again? Understand through compassion or you'll
misunderstand the times. So the you'll times. Like miss out. You'll miss the Age of Aquarius. You'll wake up and you'll be like, what, when did that happen? Well, you weren't fucking paying attention. You were watching the hockey. Okay.
You were living in a different age.
Yeah. Yeah.
You transported yourself back. You regressed. Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with watching the hockey. Just do it compassionately and consciously.
Yes.
But so it's just, I guess it's like, it goes back to the first three, like recognizing other people, everybody's going through something. So when we start being critical of situations, others, it's like, I think this one is like, try to see the other side. There's two sides to everything, even if it's whatever, but.
And also too, understanding that you're never going to fully understand where someone's coming from.
Oh my God, I had an epiphany.
We want to, and that's also being like part of the ego too. It's like trying to figure out every situation when a lot of times it's not any of our business. We take things for face value and then we like to run with it and kind of, do our own thing with it. But really just coming into any situation with compassion is always going to lead us to a great outcome. So starting our day with self-compassion and then radiating that out. And I do notice a little bit more. For me, I've noticed in probably the past 6 months, and I think it correlates with the pandemic, as people are beginning to step out more and more things are opening up, it seems like there is a little bit more compassion behind people's eyes. Like you can see like a shift that is happening. I don't know if it's also maybe more people are grateful for the small things that we all took, for granted.
Number five, vibrate the cosmos. The cosmos shall clear the path.
Vibrate the cosmos. So is that meaning as in like bring our vibration up to like the universe, the cosmos, match that vibration?
Yeah. So I'll read it. It says everything is energies. We are all made of vibrations from the chair you sit on, your laptop in front of you, to the trees, the television, and the person next to you. Mm-hmm. Quantum physics has profoundly revolutionized the way we view things and how some things are just incapable to be seen, measured, only felt.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. And that is, yeah, and that is like they're doing research every day, you know, about energy and how certain things, like when they're observing these atoms or molecules, when they're observing them through a camera lens, it appears different than when they're observing it through a different type of lens or like a microscope and that type of stuff. So that right there is beginning to show even the scientists that it is about perception of reality and what we create and the energy that we are inside of this body and how we contribute to this consciousness. And that has honestly led me more to the belief of we are every single one of us is consciousness experiencing itself. Mm-hmm. We are the universe. We are God. We are that, just in these forms, and we're all just bumping into each other along the way.
As you were talking, I was just visualizing how what it's like talking to my son about this stuff. I love that kid. But I always say to him, like, because it's like I break a computer or something when I start talking about this. And I say, well, you know, like, just be kind. If you're kind to others, and you actually mean it, like, it, do your insides match your outsides? Mm-hmm. That's a way to think about it in a more, I don't know, an easier way. So that's a way that you know that your vibration is high energy and loving is just by being kind and actually being kind, not just like pretending that you're kind.
faking through the kindness, you know, putting on that face and exactly. Mm-hmm.
So what else did you find about the of Aquarius? Yeah.
So the other thing that I had found was they were talking about in this age of Aquarius, there's more emphasis on freedom and independence. And there's more revolutions that come during this time because we're shifting out of that old, you know, frame of thinking. And people begin to turn against computer technology and science controlling our lives. So it's more about getting back down to like the organic structure of our energy and not being led by artificial intelligence and all this type of stuff. You know, we can talk about there's many positive sides to social media, but there's also many negatives. And I think this is a spotlight on where the negatives are and how can we change those negatives, I think, is something that we can take action on in this Aquarian age in that realm of like technology and stuff.
For sure. And it's an age where it is more about communication and it's like, communicating on a conscious level. So you're really you're not having these like fake elevator conversations with people. Yes. You're like having deeper conversations about truth and meaning and
Because also too, nobody likes having those, you know, surface level conversations, but people were just have them with each other instead of like just being real, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's why this podcast is so popular, because that's what we do. We've always done that.
It's just us.
Yeah. It's weird to me because these are the kinds of conversations I always have with people, and then when I have them with people that don't, they're like, she's eccentric. That's a word.
I'll take it.
Is that a nice way of saying weird? Like, is that what people are actually saying?
I think that's probably what they're, yeah. But you know what? I don't think weird is a bad word either.
I like it. I enjoy, I embrace my weirdness. It's okay with me.
Need to be. I think there's a need to be different in this age.
Yeah. And that's a trend, I think. And it's, it also said there's a disrupting of the patriarchy. I can't talk. You know what I'm saying.
That's a hard one anyways. Yes.
Major shift in power dynamics. Power is turning over to the individual and giving freedom to choose own reality based on what aligns your soul. That's from the wellandgood.com article.
So, yeah.
We versus I. So I thought this was kind of paradoxical. Because in the same paragraph, they said, we versus I, focus on humanitarianism and person's individuality.
Okay.
Interesting, so, right?
Yeah.
So we're taking care of each other. Mm-hmm. I think this is what it is. We're taking care of each other and we're honoring who that person is. Okay. Instead of like, you need to be a certain way.
Yes.
You're like, not like us. You have to be like yeah. us.
Yes. The ease of, it's very easy to group people and do that type of stuff. Yeah. But yeah. we are being more authentic and we're having connections if we do think in that individual.
Yeah.
Everybody's got circumstances in their life, you know. It was like we were saying earlier, it's just you never know the full spectrum of somebody's life.
Yeah.
Nor do you. You just show up and you show up with compassion and you just lead from that area and everything works its way out.
Yeah. So basically what this podcast has come up with is we don't know when the age of Aquarius is.
Mm-hmm. No, we're not sure on that. We believe that from what we're being told that we are in it. Yeah. Okay.
Did we say what it, we kind of said what it is. We said yeah, it's an astrological age, like time period based on the, I found it said, so the real motion of the earth, it's called precession. That was the word.
Okay.
Yeah. Change in orientation of rotational axis of rotating body. You know, I always look things up in the dictionary.
You're like, what is this word?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just, I think that's it. Basically, we talked about when we didn't know when it was, what we didn't know what it is, and what should we do about it?
So what I take away from it is, like, in a nutshell, what this is expansion. It's expansion in every way of our lives, right?
I'm clapping.
We are expanding. Yes.
Yeah.
And that gets me excited about being in the age of Aquarius.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to listen to the song.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So is there anything else you want to add?
No. Actually, real quick, yes. So when you mentioned the song, it like makes people think like Age of Aquarius from the musical Hair, 1960s, you know, that type of stuff. So it can confuse people because I think a lot of people think, that's a term that was used then because that was the Age of Aquarius and it was all about hippies and, you know, free love and all that type of stuff. And even though those people and the collective at that time was more free love and stepping into compassion more, that's not exactly what they're talking about. They're talking about pulling the essence of that energy is in the real age of Aquarius.
Yeah. That's kind of what Dolled Up Hippies all about. It's like
exactly
that same philosophy of the hippies, but it's like in this era. So need to, you know, I put on a little lipstick, but still love everybody.
Yeah. staying with the times and compassion never gets old.
That's right. There you go. So, thank you guys for listening to our
our spiel, our
informative podcast.
Learning as you learn. And if there's anybody out there, especially if we have a listener that is like an astrologer, that would be great.
Yes.
Because they could expand. And then we could also even have, you know, a full-time astrologer on to do like a big episode on astrology and what that means. And because that's a big thing. That's like, that's confusing. Yeah.
DeMario is going to come on and do that, but I don't think that he continued his class.
Teach us a master class.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there's lots of astrologers that follow us. So yeah, please reach out and we'll have you on the podcast.
Yes, we'd love that.
And we have many exciting topics to come, but we don't pick them until the day we're doing the podcast.
Yes. We like spontaneity. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what keeps us. It keeps us in our authentic selves.
That's right.
How we operate in our daily lives is what you guys are getting.
That's true. Very true. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So make sure to follow us. And please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, because
yes,
it helps us go up in the search. But what are we at now, Andrew? 2800 or something?
Yes. Yes. 2800. Yes. Complete plays. Wow.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And we are listened to not only in Canada and the United States, Germany's another big one. We have a good bit of listeners in Switzerland, Australia. We have some countries in South America that listen to us. So it's really exciting to see that it's getting out there.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you.
So people are definitely suddenly seeking spirit.
There you go. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Till next time, what has you seeking spirit?